We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Summer hack time. Here we go. So everybody's come out with their head coaching rankings. And I was going to do my QB tiers. Today's my last day before I get my vasectomy tomorrow. So I decided that instead of doing my QB tiers, which I can do anytime, and I got to do quickly, though, because we're getting close to the point where I don't think you're going to care, Tone. I don't know if anybody cares regardless. I'm going to do the top. I have my head coaching rankings for 2025. And it happens to be the top 25. Because I put Mike Vrabel and Pete Carroll ineligible because they're just returning to the flock of coaches. Okay. Next year, they will be eligible for my list if I remember to do it. There are five rookie coaches, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, Kellen Moore, Brian Schottenheimer, Liam Cohen. I put those guys just down as you can't be in this either because they're rookie head coaches. Now, I could try to rank for you off the top of my head the guys who I think are going to be most successful to least successful. I think that, oddly enough, I think Brian Schottenheimer is going to be the second most, no, I think he's going to be the most successful to start because he's got the best team to start. The Bears haven't proven it yet. I'll say Ben Johnson. Then I will say Liam Cohen. Then I will say Aaron Glenn coaches the Jets. So I'm going to say Kellen Moore and then I'm going to say Aaron Glenn. All right. But I have the top 25 head coaches before I get rolling on this. Where do you think I put Kevin Stefanski? Mitch, hopefully is listening. I might get the Mitch on this too. Lima, yeah, where do you think I put him?
The list we had the other day had him at 13.
That was the CBS of 32.
Yes. That was the CBS. PFF had him number 10.
That was of 25.
And Tyler Dunn, golongtd.com, he put him at
I'm guessing top five.
So I'm guessing five. Yeah.
He wouldn't have said. Yeah. Yeah, if he said top four.
Where do you think I got him?
So I'm guessing 12?
All right. Good guess. Owen?
I was going to say you should put him at 12.
Okay.
But I think you put him at like 8.
Okay. Mitch?
I'm going to say 11.
Okay. You have some like NFL music. I don't mean to call this one off the fly. But we'll go. You want me to go from the lowest rank to the highest rank?
You know what? Let's do this. Give me your top 3, and then you can work backwards. Because okay. I am curious if the order.
Number 1, Andy Reid. Number 2, Sean McVay. Number 3, Dan Campbell. Those are my top 3.
Wow.
All hey. Right. Working back now, this starts from the bottom, working my way back up. Number 25, Brian Callahan. 24, Raheem Morris. 23, Shane Steichen, Indianapolis Colts. Number 22, Zach Taylor, Cincinnati Bengals. You got to kiss Joe Burrow's bare ass every day that he gets to coach him.
So no credit.
Every single day.
So basically he gets no credit for the Super Bowl.
That much credit. You see that Hall of Famer, Dave Lapham, Ring of Honor guy, Dave Lapham.
Are you surprised then that Joe Burrow hasn't, I mean, if Joe Burrow wanted him gone, he'd be gone,
yeah,
right?
But he doesn't want him gone.
So why do you think that is?
I don't know. Maybe the same reason he didn't want Ed Orgeron gone. Brian Daboll, number 21, New York Giants. Mike McDonald, number 20, Seahawks. Number 19, Dave Canales. Number 18, Mike McDaniel. Do I have to say all the coaches where they play? Because some of you, Dave Canales is the.
Some of these you have to.
You have okay. to say it for me for that
Panthers.
One.
Panthers. Number 18, Mike McDaniel, Dolphins. Number 17, Jonathan Gannon, Cardinals. Number 16, Todd Bowles.
By the way, CBS had Gannon 25th.
Buccaneers. Number 15, Kevin Stefanski, Cleveland Browns.
Wow, okay, 15. I thought you'd have him a little higher.
Well, let's hear who else you have here.
Funny you should ask that. Number 14, Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 13, Dan Quinn, Washington Commanders. Number 12, Sean Payton, Denver Broncos. Number 11, Matt LaFleur, Green Bay Packers. Number 10, Jim Harbaugh, Los Angeles Superchargers. Number 9, Kyle Shanahan, 49ers. Number 8, Nick Sirianni, Eagles. Number 7, D'Amico Ryans, Houston Texans. I think he's vastly underrated by these
more
other
more respect
lists.
From Ken Carmen than from some of these other sites.
Yeah, he's to me, he's a top 5, he's a top 10 coach. He's obviously not top 5 because I wouldn't have him top 5. He's number 7. Number 6, it's going to be another one that kind of gets some eyeballs here, but I love this guy. I think he's really, really good. Kevin O'Connell, Minnesota Vikings. Number 5, Sean McDermott. Number 4, John Harbaugh. And then I gave you number 3, Dan Campbell. Number 2, Sean McVay. Number 1, Andy Reid. I didn't try to zig when everybody else sagged. Yeah. I tried to be as fair as possible. I did 3 drafts of this thing. The highest I had, Kevin, I waffled between him and Mike Tomlin. I went, man, he just went 3-14. I can't put him ahead of Mike Tomlin. I'm sorry, guys. He's got to go behind Mike Tomlin. He's number 15.
I would put one that I probably disagree with you on is Matt LaFleur, who has a great record.
Ooh,
I
mean, he's number 11.
He's 67-33, but I don't have him ahead of Tomlin. Because
really?
I just think, especially in these last however many years, I mean, he has had elite quarterback play. And with Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. remember, he had those, you could have made an argument for MVP each of those years for Aaron Rodgers. But his teams with great regular seasons, they had some bad playoff losses.
He did.
And I just think Tomlin's had terrible quarterback play and still has his team around 500 every year, above 500 every
year. You got a problem with Sirianni? Number 8 ahead of Kyle Shanahan?
No, I mean, at this point, how can I say? It's all the same thing with Jalen Hurts. How can I rip those guys or say they're overrated when the proof is in the pudding at some point, right? I can't just say they're so loaded. They're so unbelievably loaded that anybody could win with these. No, I got to give them some credit for what they've accomplished.
I got to give the reason I put D'Amico.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Go Ryan so high is that I think, you know, they got to make the right draft picks, and Nick Caserio made the right draft picks, but I still think that that's a franchise that's always like right on the cusp of starting to suck up the room again. They have not been a good franchise for the most part. They've had a good coach before that's kind of kept them afloat. But they have been struggling, to say the least, in certain cases. And I thought, man, you have to have a very smart, very strong-willed guy to make everybody, with a rookie quarterback who, remember, when he was coming out in the draft, now, there were people who, in Ohio, who would not believe this, but I remember, Lima, you and I, when it comes to our friends who are out-of-state people, like out-of-state media, like, man, you guys like the C.J. Stroud guy. Like, he can't do this, he can't do that, he can't beat Michigan, this, that, and the other. And it was like, nah, man, I'm telling you, this guy's got it. He's got to be put in the right situation. And he's put in the right situation with D'Amico Ryan. So I got to give the guy a lot of credit there. I don't care what division he plays in. I look differently on that. I think they're all NFL teams. They can all be difficult. I put him at number 7. I put LaFleur at number 11. That's interesting. I put Sean Payton ahead, obviously. But I put Kevin. I'm like, Kevin's a good coach. I do think he's a good coach. I think that I wish... God, do I wish last year had not had happened, or I probably would have him higher. But I'm going, okay, I have him 15, which is weird because I have him right ahead of the Buccaneers head coach, and we can get into a whole Freudian argument about that if we really want to. And then the rest of the guys, like, I think Jonathan Gannon is on his way up. I think Mike McDaniel's on his way out. I don't know very much about Mike McDonald other than I was disappointed because he's a defensive guy. His offense was a struggle last year. He got rid of his guys. Brian Daboll, I don't think Brian Daboll, I see there's a piling on of Brian Daboll, and I would love that, but I don't think he's as bad as it is because I don't feel very strongly about Daniel Jones whatsoever if you listen to this show. Zach Taylor, I said what I said about Zach Taylor. And the other guys, they're like, Brian Callahan looks like he's in over his head. We'll see what happens with Cam Ward this year, but Callahan looks like he's in over his head. That's really, I think Bill Callahan, I think it helped that there were guys going away, but I think Bill Callahan kind of looked, who's a guy who's been all over football for 40, 50 years now, and could see a situation that was not very good and wanted to help his son. I could see why he did that. And the Raheem Morris thing, I mean, you can't ignore the second half of the season with the Atlanta Falcons. And in so many ways, I think he made Arthur Smith look a lot better with the Atlanta Falcons during his tenure in the second half of the season with the Atlanta Falcons with Raheem Morris. Now, I think that if you were to put Mike Vrabel and Pete Carroll in here, these guys are new hires. Maybe you would put Keith. Would you put Pete behind or ahead? I know. Would you put Pete ahead or behind of Kevin Stefanski at 15?
Probably
still put Pete ahead.
Really? Even, I would maybe put him behind.
Yeah. You know, the Vrabel thing.
Vrabel's interesting.
And if you polled our audience, like who they'd rather have, Stefanski or Vrabel?
I mean, that's fish in a barrel.
Vrabel's going to win for a ton of reasons, even though, boy, nationally, a lot of people ding Vrabel for those final years. I do not in Tennessee. I do not at all. I mean, he was at war with his GM. Yeah. The team had just the all-time rash of injuries.
That's why I kind of wanted to leave Brian Callahan out of it. I mean, this is a big NFL conversation you and I are having, but I think that what the Titans are doing with Amy Strunk Adams, I really think they're doing what the Haslams did at the very beginning of their tenure, where you kind of go from, okay, we have this guy. Okay, we got to get rid of this guy. We'll bring in this guy who was right behind him. Okay, we got to get rid of this guy. We'll bring in this guy who was right behind him. Like, you keep going from lily pad to lily pad within your own organization. You bring in Brian Callahan. I think Brian Callahan's probably coaching with one hand tied behind his back. We'll see what he does with Cam Ward there. We'll see what I hope that Cam Ward's able to rise that tide there. But I agreed with you about the final years of Vrabel. So if I were to put Vrabel in here, okay, I probably bump Kevin down to 16 and Vrabel fits in somewhere else. I would probably put Pete behind Kevin.
By the way, just going back though, you had Andy Reid number one.
And yeah.
I know it's an impossible exercise.
I have an answer to this. I think I know where you're going.
Yeah. What would we do with so many of these coaches if they got Patrick Mahomes?
I think they would be higher on their list, obviously. But I see what Kansas City's able to do where you're in the same conference as Lamar. Burrow, I'm not really sure where to go on him right now because of the injuries, okay? I know that there's talent there. I know there's leadership there, but you got to be on the field. And he's missed some time now. People don't want to realize this. He's on the verge of becoming Greg Cooker down there. He's in the same conference as Josh Allen, in the same conference as Lamar Jackson. This is a team that's going through a lot of changeover in their roster. As Owen can say to it better than I can, and I'll always relent to Owen on the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously. And to keep them at that level, I know they got blown out by Philadelphia. And I think because they got blown out by Philadelphia, I think it shows you what he's working with Kansas City, where you have a complete team in Philadelphia, dudes. I mean, you have a team that has monsters on their defense. I mean, they run light box constantly in Philadelphia because you have Jalen Carter and because you have Jordan Davis and you got these guys that are monsters there that can deal with double teams. You can do that. And Kansas City doesn't have the horses yet to battle that. That's why I put Sean McDermott higher. I mean, everybody wanted to call him every name in the book when they blew out Ken Dorsey halfway through the year a couple years ago and said that Sean McDermott's this, he's bad, he's ugly, he says bad things. And I'm not going to say for any of the comparisons that he made because that was wild and I'm not going to condone that. But when you have a team that is definitely going through roster changeover, that you're able to play well, I got to give Josh Allen a lot of credit, and I do, but I also got to give the head coach a lot of credit too. And so Sean McDermott is definitely higher than where I think a lot of people have him. So if there's any controversy there on this list, I think maybe some people might be disappointed that I didn't put Kevin really low or really high because it causes maybe more of a discussion. I think Kevin is right there in the meaty middle right now. And I think that's, I'm just trying to be as fair as I possibly can at number 15.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.